Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, yesterday I had the privilege of making a pastoral visit to the Waupun Correctional Facility. These were the readings we used, of course, because we anticipated Sunday. And in that context, these readings from Ezekiel and Paul about weakness and resistance to God's grace were very powerful, you can imagine. Ezekiel, complaining about people's resistance to God's invitation, Paul talking about human weakness. It's not just for that situation, it's for all of us. And so we hear them, each of us, in our own world. There's something remarkable, memorable, for me at least, about that kind of pastoral visit. There are about 35 fellows who came to Mass. At the end, they said, "Will you come back?" And then before I could respond, they quickly added, "Don't say yes if you don't mean it." Too many people say yes. We never see them again. And it's a lead, I think, into this gospel about how important it is to have other people, diverse people with whom to talk, to listen. The gospel speaks about Jesus going back to his hometown, back to Nazareth, where he grew up. Back to neighbors and friends who knew him forever, knew him as a little kid, presumably running up and down the streets of Nazareth, shouting with impish friends. There's one wonderful picture. Someone showed it to me in Kenosha one time. I complained, a little modest personal complaint, that I never see Mary upset about anything. Any picture of Mary always has a smile, pious, and she showed me a picture of Mary shaking her finger at Jesus about having done something or other that he wasn't supposed to do. And I smiled at that because that's all part of this gospel background. He talked about the kingdom of God. He always did that as an adult. He talked about how God was working in our world, in the events of human history, and all the things, positive and negative, that we encounter or that encounter us. But he not only talked, he reached out to calm them to wholeness and health. His words left former neighbors and old friends amazed, astonished. And suddenly they had a choice, seems to me, a choice to share the vision and share the work for that kind of new world or not. Apparently it was too much for them. They chose to discount and dismiss him. They chose to reject that people could grow and change. They didn't want to change. It seems to me as if they decided to bring him down to their level to make themselves look bigger. And that's a danger temptation for all of us when we encounter someone who's different or maybe what we're not. We tend to bring them down to our level and we become smaller in the process. But that's another issue. They were amazed at him, but he in turn, maybe you caught it or not, was amazed at them, at beginning and end. They were amazed at him. He was amazed at them. They didn't really know him in his promise or potential, and they didn't even know themselves in their promise and potential. When they were offered the opportunity to grow and change, to embrace a bigger world, they backed away. They found all kinds of reasons, excuses, for saying in so many words, "Well, come back again sometime, but don't call us, we'll call you." It was a moment of grace and growth, and it slipped away. And in Mark's gospel, this is the turning point in his public ministry. After that, everything is a little different. And Jesus begins to concentrate on his disciples and not on the larger world in the same way. If this gospel is about self-knowledge, and I think it is, it's also about neighborhoods, about people living side by side, interacting with each other, and hopefully changing in the process. Catholic tradition takes a look at the world and divides it up into regions and areas. We have dioceses. Archdiocese of Milwaukee is 10 counties. When I travel out of it, I'm very conscious of the county line that brings me back into this area again. I'm very conscious of that because I say in a singular way, these are my people. These are my people. Catholic tradition divides dioceses into parishes, and priests and parish staffs, they know the boundaries. They know the areas for which they have accepted some kind of pastoral responsibility for proclaiming the word to these people, the specific word that these people need to know, to hear. Gathering these people for worship, thanksgiving to God, praise. Organizing these people to serve the poor in their area. I remember when we had that experience of going out on the 150th anniversary of the Archdiocese. That was 1993, so it goes back a few years. But at any rate, I would often meet with parish council ministry, social ministry groups. And I would love to ask the question, well, who are the people, who are the poor in your area? And it was very interesting. They often would say, well, of course, we go down to the central city and we work in the meal programs. And I would say, that's wonderful. But who are the poor in your area? They'd say, well, we have clothing drives and we take them out to other... No, that's wonderful. Who are the poor and needy in your area? And it was a great awakening moment to take a second look at people around us that we hadn't thought about in that fashion before. It was a good moment for everybody. It used to be the case Catholics automatically went to church wherever they lived. You knew where your parish was. It had boundaries, certain street. Ethnic parishes based on nationality were the exception. However, I grew up in Racine, and every parish was an exception because in order for us, my parents and myself, to go to the Slovak parish, well, we had to go past the Italian parish, the German parish, the Irish parish, the Lithuanian parish, the Polish parish, and we had to go past all of those to go to our people, to Grandma and Grandpa, and then to have Sunday dinner with Grandma and Grandpa and our folks. So there was an element to that, maybe for a long time. Automobiles enabled us to go to our folks. When ethnicity as a major factor changed, well, people still continue to go to their folks. Whether it's the music that was attractive, or the people, or the attitudes, or the values, they continue to go to their folks. A journalist from Texas, recent, by the name of Jim Bishop, no relative, I assure you, wrote a book called The Big Sort. Fascinating. The subtitle is Why Living in Like-Minded Communities is Tearing America Apart. Fascinating. We go where people think alike. We go where our ideas are not terribly challenged or nuanced by the experience of other people. When I would go to the Native American parish councils, the Congregation of the Great Spirit on the south side, it was fascinating to be part of those parish councils because it was very disrespectful and impolite to answer quickly. It was understood that when anyone said anything, You would wait a minute or two and listen and think about that. And then you would respond. If you answered too quickly, it means you didn't care what they thought. You only were interested in saying what you wanted. It was a learning experience. And once they said it was a terrible argument. I would never have known, as they listened to each other and then responded in a very thoughtful, quiet way. We tend to live in gated communities, intellectually. Not necessarily by stone or iron fencing, to keep us in and others out. We become intensely, as the media remind us so regularly, we become intensely red and blue, among other things. On occasion, I have gone to meal programs here in the city. Put on a sport shirt, slacks, stand in line, take my tray of food, sit down at a table with people that I have never met before and listen and talk. Some remarkable stereotypes just disappear. They melt away. The church, specifically the Eucharist, is the place where we meet God who thinks differently than we do, and where we're invited to meet God, other people who think differently than we do, where we're invited to celebrate the God-given diversity intellectually, economically, religiously, spiritually. I mean, there are Dominicans for whom the truth is a major issue. There are Franciscans for whom creation is the great gift. There are Carmelites who are called to contemplation. There are Jesuits who are about to doing something. You know, it's part of a spirituality that's very diverse that we encounter as a gift from God. And the conversation before and after the Eucharist is an essential part of the way in which God works. But we have to open up the space for ideas and experiences to mix and mingle. That's why small towns have it way over us. We come running in, we walk out, get to the car and go home, wherever it is. But small towns, you know, they stand around and talk. Check on the family, see who's there, who's sick. To mix and mingle for God's glory, but also for our own conversion and growth. And I sometimes wonder when we gather, as we do, urbanites, one kind or another, I wonder if when it's all done and over, if Jesus is amazed at us. What we do is good, but also by what we don't even want to look at, because it might cause us to change. This also is the gospel of the Lord.